All right, this is the Pacifica National Board of September 13th.
I'm sorry. No problem.
Okay, Pacifica Foundation National Board meeting of September 13th, 2012, convening at 5:40 p.m. Pacific, 8:40 p.m. Eastern. Summer Reese, Chair, Bill Kircher, Vice Chair, Afia Wangaza, Secretary. Madam Secretary, could you call the roll, please? Thank you.
Okay, well, Afia asked if I do it. This is Bill Kircher.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Mr. Vice Chair, would you call the roll, please?
Okay.
Yeah.
Ken Aaron. Can't hear you, Ken. I'll be going alphabetically by last name.
Here.
Okay. Ken, thank you. Ivan Alzamay.
Here.
Thank you. Teresa Allen. Can't hear you, Teresa. Nia Bediako.
Present.
Thank you. Wesley Bethune.
Here.
Thank you. Carolyn Burden.
Here.
Thank you. Lydia Brazon.
Here.
Thank you. Bill Crozier's here. Kathy Davis. Can't hear you, Kathy. Revlon Gold?
Present.
Thank you. Heather Gray?
Here.
Thank you. Campbell Johnson? Can't hear you, Campbell. Ali Lexa?
Here.
Thank you. Afia Wangaza? Can't hear you, Afia. Laura Pritis? Can't hear you, Laura. Summer Reese?
Present.
Afia is present.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Summer and Afia. Got you both. Marcel Reed?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks, Marcel. George Ryder? He told me he would be late. Tracy Rosenberg?
Yes.
Can't hear you, Tracy. Dan Siegel?
Oh, sorry, I'm here.
Okay, I got Tracy. Dan, was that you, Dan? Okay. Thank you, Dan.
Yes, it was me and someone else.
Yeah, I got you and Tracy both. Okay. Alex Steinberg?
We're actually the same.
Present.
Okay, Andrea Turner? Can't hear you, Andrea. Laverne Williams?
Present.
Thank you. Andy Gold? We won't be
no,
on until executive
have
session.
Close.
Okay. John Gary, recording secretary. Can't hear you, John. Heard him a minute ago, though. We have quorum, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for being on the call.
We have 16.
16? Okay. Good. Excellent. Thank you. Thank you, members of the public who listen to these meetings. I did not see any requests for excused absences, so I will presume there are none. Does someone wish to be the timekeeper? And maybe not. Okay. Well, if there's a volunteer for timekeeping, please speak up. Bill, Ivan, who would like?
No,
would
yeah,
anyone like to be designated?
I'll do it if nobody else wants to.
Thank you, Bill. Okay.
Okay.
Open session agenda approval. Are there any objections or amendments to the agenda as prepared and sent out by Bill? Anyone? If not, then we can move on. Are there any objections to the proposed agenda? Can someone please move for its approval? Would someone like to move for approval?
Ms. Bill,
of the agenda?
I move approval of the agenda. And just to point out, this is the one that's Revision D, I believe. It was sent out just a little while ago.
Oh, dear. Okay. This one was revised this morning. I could be off target. Hold on. All right. Sorry, Bill. Thanks. But, okay, so Revision D, and the chair will pull Revision D up. Are there any objections to the agenda? And if we don't hear any, then...
Summer?
Yes. Go ahead, Nia.
This is, I noticed that there are motions here by Bill and Marcel regarding the executive searches, so it would make sense to move up the motions from the personnel committee in terms of the the job descriptions.
Sure.
I think those, you know, that section should be moved up right yeah. after that.
Okay, so where do you want them on the agenda?
Wait. It's only logical for it to come after the motion. For the search committee that Bill and Marcel have?
Teresa here.
I'm just trying to get where you want to be here. Bill Crozier's right there.
That would
okay.
be the new that would be Mike. The new number 8, looks like.
I'm looking, hold on. Well, I see that they're at the top of the agenda right now. Let's see. Am I missing something here?
No, but in terms of the job descriptions, don't we need that?
Got you. You're trying to consolidate things that should rightfully you think be in the same place. So we've got the committee, then we've got that. Okay, all right. And then number eight. Number 8 is in Roman numerals. That's under Finance Committee and Task Reports. I see it right there, WBAI budget. Which number 8 is it, Nia?
Which
under
number?
Personnel?
I'm looking at, oh boy.
I got it. Bill, you want to help us out here? Because I'm going through here. I'm all the way down to unfinished business. So, let's see.
Well, it's under committees and task force reports. First under that is finance committee. There's a bunch of motions from there, then FRAT, then elections, then technology,
right?
Then personnel. It's on page 4 of the way of mine. It may have printed a little different for the rest of you.
Got you. Thank you.
So at least it's logical to at least those. If you don't want to put all 4 of them there, 4 motions, at least the revised job descriptions.
For the ED and the CFO, are those the 2?
I mean, you could put the whole thing up there, and then if you want to do whatever, but I think at least those 2.
Okay, so you'd like them right after the 2 other search committee parameter motions. Is there an objection?
I object.
Who's the objection, please?
Ken.
Okay,
we have
Ken.
Yeah, an objection.
Okay, so let's just let them take all night on agenda approval. You know, I hate that, and so does everybody else, so let's just vote on this. Do we need to have discussion? I mean, do people wish to discuss, or do we wish to just to vote? Okay, if we could just take a vote then. So the motion on the floor, I'm sorry, was there a second for your motion, Nia? Let's make this official, because I got an objection. I don't know that I got a
Lydia.
Second.
I second Nia's motion.
Okay, thank you. So Nia's motion to move the ED and CFO job descriptions from the Personnel Committee section under Committee Reports up to, there would be items 3 and 4 under after we get past regular reports, right up at the top after the motions on ED, CFO Search Committee, so Roman numeral 7. They would be after Marcel Reed's motion. That's the motion on the floor to move them up on the agenda after the 2 ED, CFO Search Committee motions. If you support that, vote yes. If you do not and want to leave the agenda as it is in regard to these matters, then vote no, please. Is Madam Secretary or Bill? Bill, are you acting secretarial for right now?
Well, I was just calling roll. But.
Okay, Madam Secretary, are you on the line, Afia?
She was only called roll.
Okay, could you, I don't hear her, perhaps. Could you call the roll again, Bill? I mean, could you call it on this vote?
Call the roll for the vote. Okay, so the motion is to move up.
The motion on the floor is from Betty Ocko to move the 2 personnel committee motions that are the ED job description and the CFO job description, to move them up on the agenda under Roman numeral 7 after motions on ED and CFO search committee, Bill Crozier and Marcel Reed. It would be after Marcel Reed's motion. That's the motion on the floor. So if you support moving them, then vote yes. If you do not, then vote no.
Okay. Ken Aaron?
No.
Thank you. Ivan Alsame?
No.
Thank you. Teresa Allen?
No.
Thank you. Nia Bediako?
Yes.
Thank you. Wesley Bethune? Can't hear you, Wesley. Carolyn Burden?
Oh.
No.
Was that Wesley sitting there somewhere?
Yes.
You vote yes? Okay, and I got a no for Carolyn. Lydia Brazon?
Yes.
Thank you. Bill Crozier votes no. Kathy Davis? Can't hear you, Kathy. Revlon Gold?
Makes sense to me, yes.
Thank you. Heather Gray?
No.
Thank you. Campbell Johnson? Can't hear you, Campbell. Ali Lexa?
No.
Thank you. Afiwan Gaza?
Yes.
Thank you. Laura Purvis?
I just joined the call. I don't know what we're voting on.
Okay, do you want to abstain?
What the issue is.
Well, we're in the middle of a vote. It's just it's moving something on the agenda, personnel descriptions, job description of ED and CFO up underneath the search. A yes moves them on the agenda, a no doesn't.
Okay, I'll pass for the moment.
Okay, Marcel Reed?
Yes.
Okay, George Ryder, I believe he's not here. Tracy Rosenberg?
No.
Thank you. Dan Siegel? Can't hear you, Dan. Alex Steinberg?
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, Dan? Okay. Is that
yes.
Vote? Okay,
yep.
Thank you. Alex Steinberg? Can't hear you, Alex. Andrea Turner?
I said no.
Okay. Thank you, Alex. And Andrea's not here, I believe. Passes. Laura Purvis?
Yes.
Vote yes. Okay, thank you. Anybody else come in during the roll call or that I missed? Guess not. Okay, yeses are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And those are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. The
okay.
Motion fails.
Motion fails. Thank you. Agenda's not modified in that fashion. Are there any other changes to the agenda or amendments to the agenda or anything else with the agenda, or is there a motion to approve the agenda?
Teresa here, stat on the stack.
Yes, go ahead, Teresa.
I move that we approve the agenda.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I second.
Thank you. Who was that? Lexa?
Ali.
Thank you. Is there any objection? Okay. Hearing none? Let's go. Pretty good, everyone. All right. First thing on the agenda, and I'm pulling it back up again. Sorry. There we go. All right. There are no minutes, correct? I didn't see any minutes with dates. No? Good? Okay.
There were minutes that were sent out. They were sent out following the
yesterday.
Last patient and again on yesterday. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't see them on the date. What are the dates of the minutes, Madam Secretary?
I am not at my computer.
Okay.
Yeah, they were. Lydia, you're not at your computer either.
Okay, let's just. I can honestly say I haven't reviewed them, and I apologize. Have other people reviewed the minutes? Or does someone want to make a motion to approve? I mean, I don't even have a date on the agenda for minutes. That's why I had that confusion. So, either someone moved to approve with a date.
I moved to, this is Ken, I moved to whatever it's called, table and postpone. Because
postpone.
What was sent
okay,
down was
next,
like four sets of minutes.
Thank you. To the next meeting?
Yes, I moved to postpone till the next meeting.
Okay, thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Was that Reed?
That's Reed.
Hi. Okay, thanks. All right. Any objections? Right. You know, the radio station is nice in the background, and I know we're in radio, but whoever that is, please. All right. Very good. So we're down to Chair's report and then ED's report, and occupying both roles at the moment. I should figure out where one begins and the other ends on the report, but I've written a three-page ED report, which I'm going to send to all of you in a moment, but it contains both confidential and non-confidential items, so I will go ahead and pluck through the things that I think I can go ahead and discuss on an open call, and the other things we'll cover when we get to closed session. So I think probably most germane to the open call is the elections issue, which certainly has been raised by various people, so I would
go ahead and report on that and take any questions. And then I would have to say that the majority of the rest of what I'm reporting is probably going to be in closed session because a lot of it is, you know, internal, contractual, employment, et cetera. On the election, I've met with the National Election Supervisor on the phone several times. I've had joint meeting with him and all of the election supervisors and spoken to several of the supervisors, local supervisors, individually regarding the issues at their particular stations. It was apparent that at one, possibly two stations, there was a real possibility that they weren't going to have a sufficient number of candidates to even, you know, fill the seats available, much less have any extra people or alternates, et cetera. In the context of that conversation also came up an issue which has arisen in the past when the nominations periods have been extended, which is whether you extend the membership period as well, since any further outreach that may be conducted by the local election supervisor or the general managers may be ineffective at drawing in new people as candidates if they can't also become members at the same time. And this was raised to me as an issue. In terms of, I wanted to keep things on the same schedule as much as possible. Part of it is, you know, we're using consolidated services with the election counting. And to minimize confusion for everyone, I coordinated with Mr. Barishas in terms of whether or not a change in the schedule would disrupt the workflow and ability to accommodate the rest of the schedule, whether it could be met by Election Services Corporation. He came back to me with two proposed schedules, one of which would have coincided with the national elections, which did not seem a good idea, and one which has a return date for the national elections, which seemed also a good idea. He further stated to me that he already could not certify that the elections were conducted in accordance with the bylaws in terms of timelines because it would have required a change in the schedule last year on the part of the board for this year, and the fact that the schedule was moved down significantly a couple of months. During this year, he already wasn't able to certify that it was in compliance on a timeline basis. And because it was started so late in the season, in fact, the nomination period overlapped with fund drive period at the majority of stations, which everyone concurred had an effect in terms of the ability to conduct on-air outreach, since most stations do not run things like election carts during a fund drive. So with all these various factors in place, and additionally, in terms of changing the record date, I'm not aware of any station which holds its fund drive during the first 2 weeks of September. Virtually all of our stations begin their fund drives if they are beginning during the tail end of the fiscal year. They begin during the last 2 weeks of September and frequently overlap into the beginning of the next fiscal year in October. And this is standard practice throughout the network. Sometimes, frequently, as we did at KPFK this year, there is a mini or not so mini drive during August. But virtually nobody ever has a drive during the first 2 weeks of September. So it's unlikely to affect very many people in terms of membership during that record change date. So it was a field decision based on efficient running of the elections, based on accommodating the needs of certain signal areas while not disrupting the overall election schedule for the entire network to keep it all on one even keel. And, in consultation with him, that is the decision I made on it. I think it's based on the conversations I had with everyone involved, seemed to be the best decision under the circumstances, considering things had gotten off to such a late start. So hopefully that will be as planned. An issue was raised about the electronic voting. Mr. Barishas brought to my attention that my predecessor had approved of engaging in electronic voting. I did speak with a couple of people that gave me the impression also that what came back from, you know, Electronic Services Corporation was that it can help to increase quorum. And since we sometimes have to extend our elections also and have difficulty reaching quorum just functionally, that also seems worthwhile considering there's added expense if you have to extend the elections period because you haven't reached quorum. So that factored into that decision as well, but also because it was a decision already in progress. And I went with what the election supervisor recommended on that, and then I got some flap afterwards. So I'm happy to discuss any of those. They were made from the basis of dealing with our practical situations on the ground, and that's why I made those decisions. So if anyone wants to ask me questions about that, I figured this is definitely open session topic matter. It's the elections, and I'm happy to discuss it, and I'll see what else I can discuss in open session. Otherwise, I'll give you a longer report in closed session. So any staff?
Oh, Bill?
Okay, Bill.
Just a suggestion. Can we keep questions to for 60 seconds?
That would be awesome, especially since I've only discussed one topic. All
okay,
right,
thank you.
Anybody else? Anybody with questions? And if not, that's the explanation. Anyway, I wanted to be, you know, forthright in terms of what went into my decision-making process on that.
Hi, this is Kathy. I just wanted to let you know I'm on the call.
Hey, Kathy. Thank you. Okay, very good. You know, and this isn't anything that has to be in closed session. I mean, I'm meeting weekly with the general managers, with the program directors, going over the various issues, you know, in the joint calls, issues which affect the entire network or which, you know, any decisions made will, you know, be applicable to all the stations. And I've been meeting individually as well with the general managers in lengthy phone conferences and here in person as well on issues that are specific to each station. So I find that we are getting into what I consider to be a good workflow. I already have pretty well-established rapport with several of the managers and know virtually all of the people on the call. So we're moving into, I think, you know, some very productive territory of addressing things that are of concern across the network to multiple managers. A lot of it has to do with policy guidance on dealing with problems that arise in the workplace and things which have, you know, been sort of handled in an ad hoc fashion from station to station, and there is a desire, I believe, on the part of everyone to have more uniform policies across the network, which are clearly articulated and, you know, put forth to staff and to management so that when problems arise, there's a clear system in terms of how you deal with them. So some of those issues are coming up. We had a productive meeting today. This isn't something either which I think has to be in closed session. Where there's going to be a smaller group of us working on putting together a database of the premium vendors across the network and more real-time reporting station to station so that we can adjust our pledge drives in real time across the network so that it isn't just, you know, one person at one station talking to another, but where there's actually a place you can go to and say, ah, this is very, you know, this is really working with the listeners over here, and, you know, you can tune up your fund drive, you know, the next day at a station. And that was something that all the program directors expressed an interest in and that would help them to improve performance during fund drive. So that came up today. Our technical staff was very receptive, and we're going to have a meeting with the membership directors and to see exactly what needs to go into the system and how fast it can be deployed and hopefully in time for our fall fund drive season so that there's greater communication more quickly between program directors, general managers, and membership departments to move successful, you know, thank you gifts. So, and I think everything else I'd be more comfortable discussing in the closed session, because I think otherwise I'll have to pick very carefully through each paragraph to figure out what I can discuss. But anyway, all of that is going pretty seamlessly and you know, productively with the senior management staff. So I'm pleased with that.
Didn't you ask for a stack? I asked to be on the stack.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who is that?
Lydia.
Hi, Lydia. I'm sorry. I did offer a stack, but I didn't hear you. I apologize. Okay. And was there anyone else?
Ken.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay, Lydia, go ahead, please.
Well, since the bylaws set out specifics in terms of postponement within the context of within elections that are specific to not meeting quorum at certain stations, are you going to continue to apply delays when it's just exclusively one or two stations? Certainly KPFK had more than enough candidates this last time around. We didn't need the extension. And the other issue is that on the elections committee, what we learned, because there were a couple of people who had raised a sample election, maybe the staff election for electronic voting, and when it was pointed out that you'd have to minimally spend $5,000, even if you were doing it for a small staff election, did not seem cost-effective because there would be too few people responding, which then swayed some of those putting that forward, you know, toward not voting for that option. So are you proposing then increasing the election budget that we spent so much time trying to streamline and adding another $5,000 in order to facilitate this?
Well, I will be completely honest. The election supervisor, you know, sent me an email and said, Arlene approved using this electronic voting, and I, you know, need to, and frankly, it came as like, this isn't an approved option, and I admit, jumping into the saddle like this while the horse is running, I asked him, I said, can this be integrated seamlessly? And he's like, yes, they've been doing this for years. And I said, okay. I haven't signed the contract yet, though, so conceivably I can revisit this issue. Part of it is, you know, it was my impression from, you know, from him that this was left to the discretion of the ED. I'm not even big on electronic voting, like in the real world, you know. If it would help to improve our likelihood of achieving quorum, you know, a cost-benefit analysis would have to come down to, is it actually cheaper to spend the money up front because you get your quorum and you don't extend things, and you don't pay people longer and you don't drag out the process? That's a judgment call, and I haven't crunched those numbers. I've been dealing with bigger issues. So I, you know, just straight up, the election supervisor came to me with this, and I said, okay, if this is like what was already in process. However, I mean, I can revisit this issue, quite frankly, but I need to do it by tomorrow, kind of. You know, I need to get this off to them. So I know the elections committee is meeting on Sunday, correct?
Carolyn on the track, please.
Okay, I'll take Carolyn. Yes. So, you know, anyway.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Ken is on the stack next.
I know.
Ken is on the stack next.
I've got Ken and then Carolyn. Go ahead, Ken.
Alex on the stack.
Okay, I will try to stay to 90 seconds.
Time for the ED report.
Okay, and I've got Alex. Well, I guess conceivably, yeah, okay. Chair report, ED report. Go ahead. We'll finish the stack at least. Ken and Carolyn.
Okay, but everybody stay to 90 seconds. It would be helpful.
Yeah, I
want to thank the ED chair for extending the elections. We had a paucity of candidates. We were getting reports from the NES of people who downloaded an application. That doesn't mean you have a candidate. I think now we probably have enough adequate candidates because of the extension. So thank you very much for that. In regards to the electronic election, I think you made the right decision, and I don't think it has to be addressed further. It's 5,000, and it'll probably increase participation, which is what we should be paying attention to. I had one question. Have we decided when the next in-person meeting is?
You know, I was talking with my vice chair, Bill, there yesterday about that. And you know what? That should have been added to the agenda because there's been some back and forth email on picking a date. And Bill was going to check into whether there were any competing conventions or things that would, you know, impact hotel availability and pricing and stuff. But I think, aren't we meeting constantly between now and the end of the month? Isn't that what I'm feeling every Thursday?
You know, part of this depends on how long it takes to get budgets approved. We're meeting every week by phone for the next several weeks. But,
so what do you think,
the in-person meeting, that's later. That's the poll we did, it was about a tie between October 26th through 29th, November 9th through 12th, and November 16th through 19th. So I asked the people who were volunteered to help check on hotels to just ask, you know, which of those dates were available at their first choice of hotels. Actually, the first two people who had volunteered have backed out. They're too overcommitted, but we have somebody else that's starting on that. And so,
well, what I'm thinking is maybe by the meeting next week, if we meet again next week, maybe we could have a report,
and then we could
put something on the agenda, and then we could just take a vote on one of those days or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I mean, we do need to settle on a date. So why don't we'll make it an agenda item for next week, okay, so that we get this settled, we get our weekend picked, and we get on with planning here. Ken, did you have
any questions? October 19th through 22nd. There were quite a few people that objected to that one.
Okay.
Thank you. You answered my question. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Ken.
Carolyn,
and then Alex, and then Wesley?
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I think the figure of $5,000 may be a little suspect. I don't know how that was arrived at, and it's hard to predict in advance. But the cost of adding it administratively may be offset by the savings in postage, which is a big savings in electronic balloting. So I think the experiment across the board, rather than picking one station, which would not be predictive, I think, of what would happen to all of them, is a very good idea, and I hope that you will stay with it. It was a good decision, and I just question any figure that is put out there is speculative because the real cost savings will be in how aggressively the opt-in option is promoted on the air and how many people actually take it up, and therefore we save a small fortune in postage. So I think
that's quite true, actually, if it was approached.
It's quite great, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. And, I mean, she makes a very valid point, which is if we were to aggressively approach this as a paperless solution, save a tree, et cetera, conceivably, I mean, there's like $31,000 in postage, everybody. So conceivably, I mean, you know, on return postage and stuff, I mean, it's just, it could save us money, certainly, from that perspective.
Sure.
And
thank you. It's hard to predict in advance, but all the available information says that we're on the right track for this.
Thank you, and it's probably the wave of the future, too. Okay, Alex?
I'll be very brief, just since you've been getting flack over this. I just want to say that I fully endorse your decision. I think that electronic voting is the way to go for the future, and that in this first election where we're experimenting with it, I hope it goes well, and I think we have every reason to believe that if we keep to it, we will be able to save money, and we will be able to encourage more of our listeners to actually participate in the voting.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Very good. Wesley?
Yes, Summer, I wholeheartedly urge you to not make a decision on this until you've attended Sunday's election committee meeting. We've been hashing over this as a committee for months, taking into all sorts of things into consideration, as such as availability for people, whether there's just so many issues that we have been discussing in depth, and they're just totally brushed aside. So all I ask is that you sit in on this meeting on Sunday and make your decision on Monday.
Okay, thank you, Wesley.
Do I need to put it in the form of a motion?
You may if you choose to.
Well, I mean, you know, if you could just say, hey, yeah, I'll do that, then we don't have to go through that.
Okay, here's the deal. I got to talk with the election supervisor. I'm getting some heat on, getting the contract signed and back over to this services company. So that's part of what I'm weighing here. You know, I was going to have it to him 2 days ago, and I've already...
If we get a major lawsuit later on because of this, then I guess that'll pretty much sink the network, and BAI can be sold off by whoever's interest is. Thank you.
Well, I hope we wouldn't get a major lawsuit over electronic balloting. That would be awful.
Why don't you wait till Monday? Is that hard? Okay, I'll make it a motion then, since you won't commit to it. I move that we delay that decision until Monday after the next elections committee, which we want Summer to attend. No, it's not grammatically correct.
That's okay, man. I got you. Is there a second?
Second.
Who's the second for the record, please?
Nia Bediako.
Thank you, Nia. Okay, is there discussion on this motion? Or can we just go to a vote?
This is Bill.
Hey, Bill, go ahead.
Wesley, can you clarify what that decision is, what it includes?
I think this is on just electronic voting, so just go ahead and put the wording in, right?
I just want to make sure. Okay.
So just to clarify, I believe Wesley's motion is that I refrain from making a decision as to inclusion of electronic voting until Monday after I've attended the elections committee meeting on Sunday. Correct, Wesley?
That is correct.
Thank you. Okay. Is there an objection to this?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Discussion?
Carolyn, yes.
Okay. Carolyn, anyone else?
Alex.
Okay.
Ken.
Teresa. Okay. Here. Teresa, you got it. Okay. Go ahead. Carolyn, Alex, Ken, Teresa. Carolyn, go ahead, please.
Thank you. The Elections Committee has been discussing this, and I think that the reasons for it seem very bureaucratic and really not related to the realities of voting patterns, voting habits, changes in voting, and what the foundation really needs going forward. I realize it's hard when a committee makes a recommendation and it is considered and then rejected, but in fact, that's what happened, and it happened very often. This may be one of those times. I do think that the question of a contract that has already been
verbally agreed to may be an issue. I don't know if you're allowed to renege on a contract that has been basically agreed to. That's a question you have to take up with counsel. But I hope that you will go ahead and do the right thing.
Thank you. Alex.
Dan on the stack.
Okay. Dan,
okay, my objection is I think it's a bad precedent for preventing an executive director from making a decision contingent on a committee meeting. I mean, this I have no objection, of course, to the executive director doing this on her own if she chooses to wait to make a decision until she sits on the committee meeting. That's fine, but I don't think that there should be any such mandate. That's really stepping over the bounds of governance into a micromanagement, if you ask me. So I would,
this is Lydia.
I would object to that.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Alex. And I've got Ken, Teresa, Dan, Lydia, and then hopefully we could just move to a vote because we're past time. Go ahead, Ken. Ken, are you on the line?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I got all my bluster out while the mute was on. Okay. I concur with Alex, and it's quite adequate for the people on the election committee who are opposed to electronic voting to send an email to the ED. It is hostage to say that she has to attend a specific meeting when I know what kind of a burden the ED has to have, especially when she's also covering as chair. There's always issues like that, and there isn't if there's a an accord, if the election committee came up with a final decision already, that they made a motion and said there will be no electronic voting, then they can pass that up to the ED and the PNB, that's fine. But it's not necessary for the ED to sit through a three-hour meeting on Monday. The material can be sent via email, and the ED can make her decision.
Bill, point of order.
Go ahead, Bill.
We're way past time on this, and it's an emotion that wasn't even on the agenda, so I'm not really sure it's in order in the first place.
There you go. Okay, so does somebody want to extend time?
This is Lydia. I want to extend time.
How much?
There's a point of order, and the motion was referred to Elections Committee.
I'm sorry? How much are you extending time?
5 minutes.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Who is the second, please?
I oppose extending 5 minutes.
Okay, is there a second?
In 10 minutes.
Yes.
Second.
Okay, I've got second. Betty Yacko. I know there are other people, but I recognize your voice, Nia. Okay, and there's opposition. So can we just vote on this, please? I'm sure we don't have to discuss for 5 minutes whether we want to continue for 5 minutes. So if you support it continuing for 5 minutes just to finish this, then vote yes. If you don't, vote no, please. Bill, can you call the roll? Thank you.
Okay, Ken Aaron.
No.
Thank you. Ivan Alsamay?
No.
Thank you. Teresa Allen?
No.
Thank you. Nia Bediako?
Yes.
Thank you. Wesley Bethune?
Yes.
Thank you. Carolyn Burden?
No.
Thank you. Lydia Brazon?
Yes.
Thank you. Bill Crozier votes no. Kathy Davis?
No.
Thank you. Revlon Gold?
Yes.
Thank you. Heather Gray?
Yes.
Thank you. Campbell Johnson? Can't hear you, Campbell. Ali Lexa?
No.
Thank you. Afiola Gaza?
Yes.
Thank you. Laura Privis? Can't hear you, Laura. Marcel
yes.
Reed?
Laura,
okay, Laura yes. Votes yes. Okay, got you, Laura. Marcel Reed?
Yes.
Thank you. George Ryder, are you here yet? Can't hear you. Tracy Rosenberg?
No.
Thank you. Dan Siegel?
Yes.
Thank you. Alex Steinberg?
No.
Thank you. Andrea Turner? Can't hear you, Andrea. Okay. Yeses. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Did you call Campbell?
Campbell, yeah, and I didn't hear you. How do you vote?
I'm here. I'll vote yes.
Okay. That means 10 yes. No's, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Fails, it takes 2/3.
Did it fail or?
Well, it's 10 yes and 9 no, but it takes 2/3 to extend time, so it fails.
I have a question. Which report was that? Was that just the ED? Do we still have chair?
Oh, no, we've gone way past both of them put together at this point.
We can't ask
point of order, Madam Chair. There was a motion on the floor from Wesley. I think we have to vote on it.
Yeah, we have to vote on it. Correct. That is correct. Thank you, Ken. So let us go ahead and, if we could, the motion is on the floor. The motion from Wesley Bethune is that I refrain from entering into the portion of the contract regarding electronic voting, at least until Monday after I have attended the elections committee meeting on Sunday. Correct?
Yeah, that's my
close enough as a paraphrase? Okay. Thank you. So those in support of that, vote yes. Those opposed, vote no. Please.
I have a question about this. The wording and everything, are you saying that Summer has to totally attend or that she has to be informed as the, you know, what the content and the results were?
I believe
point
that
of order, debate is closed. There's no amendment to change.
It is my understanding if the motion passes that I will be required to attend the meeting on Sunday. That's my understanding.
Is that right, Wesley?
Well, let me just say that
point of order, debate is closed.
She's just trying to get a point of clarity. Go ahead, Wesley.
Point of order.
Can
you stop interrupting?
Just go ahead, Wesley. Go ahead and clarify your
intent. Yes, no question.
Yeah, I just want to flesh this out so that you know. I understand that it's messed up to make a motion to force you to come and attend a meeting that you should. Be more than willing to do so on your own. So, I think I'll just vote against it then and leave it to your conscience whether you attend Sunday's meeting or not. Thank you,
Wesley. Okay. All right, folks. Look, the motion's on the floor. I mean, the basic intent of the motion is for me to wait until after that meeting before I make a decision on this and take that into account. Okay, and I understand what the intent of the motion is. So if we could vote one way or the other, please. If you support the motion, then vote yes. And if you do not, then vote no, please. Go ahead, Bill. Can you call the roll?
Okay, Ken Aaron.
No.
Thank you. Ivan Elsame?
No.
Thank you. Teresa Allen?
Teresa says no.
Thank you. Nia Benyako?
Yes.
Thank you. Wesley Bethune?
No.
Thank you. Carolyn Burton?
No.
Thank you. Lydia Brisson?
Yes.
Thank you. Bill Crozier votes no. Kathy Davis?
No.
Thank you. Revelyn Gold?
Yes.
Thank you. Heather Gray?
Yes.
Thank you. Gamble Johnson?
I'll pass.
Okay. Ali Alexa?
No.
Thank you. Afia Langaza?
Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Yes.
Okay, Bia votes yes. Thank you. Laura Priebus?
Yes.
Thank you. Marcel Reed?
Yes.
Thank you. George Ryder? Still not with us. Tracy Rosenberg? Can't hear you, Tracy. Dan Siegel?
Yes.
Oh, sorry, Bill. I was on mute. Can you take my vote?
Yeah, I got Dan as yes. And how do you vote, Tracy?
I will vote no.
Thank you. Alex Steinberg?
No.
Thank you. Andrea Turner, are you here? I don't believe so. Okay. Campbell Johnson?
Pass? Yes.
Thank you. Okay, yes votes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. No votes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Fails.
Motion fails.
Madam Chair,
okay.
May I bring a point of parliamentary inquiry?
Of course.
Go
ahead.
Dan Siegel doesn't sound like Dan Siegel. Is that really Dan Siegel on the line?
It's my evil twin.
Hey, Dan. Okay.
Do you want me to recite my social security number or bring the international?
But you weren't before.
Okay, very good. All right, I take into consideration the concerns of my colleagues, and I'll act accordingly and deal with this. I think we're done with this portion of the agenda. So let us go on to what's next on the agenda, because we have so many things which need to be handled today. So thank you, everyone. And I'll have plenty for us to chew on in closed session as well. So, all right. So next up is the Chief Financial Officer's report. LaVarn, would you like to take the floor?
Oh, I'm sorry. To Dolly, I don't have really a formal report to give.
Okay.
We're still closing the books. I mean, just in general, there have been some issues that have had to address. And one of them is the issues at WBAI, and someone has committed, a grand larceny at BAI in terms of faking and forging checks. So a lot of time has been spent on trying to assist with that. And, it's still always this is the last month of the fiscal year. We do have in volunteer help again to help close the books and get a lot of our intercompany transfers done by year end. And we have two people who have worked for the foundation before who are volunteering on the weekends. So we expect to have that done. We also have a couple of interns that we have from Berkeley. So what we're just striving to do is to get a lot of the work done that we need to do by the end of the fiscal year.
Thank you, LaVarn. Any questions for LaVarn? And if not, we'll go to the next thing on the agenda. Okay, very good. So next on the agenda are...
Did you ask for a question?
Yes.
Oh, yes, I have a question.
Okay, I'm sorry. Is that Lydia?
Yes, it is.
Okay, go ahead, Lydia.
So, LaVarn, have we closed that account, hopefully? In a BAI?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we, and the thing is that since I'm the main signer.
Okay, thank you.
Of course, we closed it and we opened a new one, had to open it here in Berkeley and at the Chase Bank. And Chase, as I think I informed everyone, they immediately, reimbursed BAI for those checks because they were clearly fake and forged, except there was one, a smaller one that they hadn't done so. Both the bank here in Berkeley and I had to have a discussion with their law center to make sure that they did give us the credit, which they did the next day. So, it's just very time-consuming. It's not in. You know, we'd like to have these people prosecuted for, this attack.
Alex on the stack.
Teresa for the stack.
Thank you.
Summer. Please.
Thank you, LaVarn. Sure, Alex, Teresa, Nia. I've also addressed that issue in my ED report, but I wasn't going to bring it up on an open session. But I can elaborate on that also more. Go ahead, Alex.
I understand there were some problems in the new payroll system, and I'm not sure what you can go into an open session. But could you give us a very brief summary of that?
Oh, absolutely. The plan was to go to ADP like last spring, but we were delayed due to we were trying to address the issue of our insurance coverage, so that was delayed. So we went from Prime Pay to ADP. Now, ADP is a much more sophisticated system, and there were some errors in terms of the file from Prime Pay, which was our previous vendor. They transferred the database, and at the time, I guess I can say this on open session, but at the time we were doing the transfer, and the person who was working with Lynn was not real helpful or thrilled about the fact that we were leaving. So the file was transferred over. There were a number of things in there that were errors, so they showed up in ADP. The other thing with ADP, ADP is much more sophisticated than PrimePay, so with some individuals concerning their taxes and the jurisdiction in which they live, it, of course, was an increase based on what prime pay had. So there were those issues. There were some issues about direct deposit, and in some cases what had happened is that there were a number of accounts, and it had gone to an account that a person, I guess, hadn't used for a while, but it went into that earlier account. And then there were just some issues in terms of some of the deductions. So Liz has been addressing those with our contact at ADP. And as I'd said, or we'd said before in our general manager's meeting, that if there are some lingering things, you know, let me know and I will help to address those. And those were the primary issues with the transfer to ADP. But with ADP, we're also going to time and attendance. So that's another little project that we're working on. We have to get that started, too, so that each person will be responsible for their own hours, and which will be approved by their supervisor and or the general manager.
Thank you. Okay, next is Teresa and then Nia.
Hi. Three quick questions. Number one, are you saying that someone has been actually arrested for writing those checks?
No. I guess I'll update at this point. I spoke with the detective 2 days ago, and or is it last night?
Or yesterday.
Was it yesterday? See, this is how long these days are. 16-hour days make you feel like it's 2 days ago. Anyway, they've just assigned it to a detective. I've put hot urgency under the NYPD that we take this very seriously and that we will prosecute, and that he should prioritize our file to the top of the stack, and you know, that we expect them to do all the investigative techniques of, you know, fingerprinting the forged checks and checking the video cameras where they were cashed, et cetera, to ascertain who the perpetrators are, and that we will then prosecute. So we're taking this very seriously and addressing it vigorously and making sure that it's prioritized with all the other, you know, fraud-type cases that may be arising in a big city like New York. So and the entire national, I mean, Lavarne and I, Berthold, I mean, this is being taken extremely seriously, and we're making sure that the police also are taking it seriously.
Okay. Thank you. My second question for the CFO is, are you planning any large mailing, or have we received any large donations or any large sums of money in the past month? Just wondering.
Yes, I can report that. First of all, on the mailings that we did from the national office, since we still haven't finalized the close for August, I can't tell you the exact amount, but I think we received about $70,000 on that direct mail for the national office. I guess went out in the end of June, July. And also KPFA received a significant sum, a little under $200,000 from an estate, and the reason why we were able to actually get those funds is that here at the national office, Lynn, like, totally pursued that and kept her finger on in terms of what the status was and what we needed to do to get those funds, and that's why we have those in. So again, KPFA received a little under $200,000 from an estate, and that was due to the diligence here with Lynn really pursuing that.
Okay. Well, my third question is, are you working with the election supervisor to come up with a good letter to solicit donations when we send out our ballot?
I think that other people have been involved with this. So I haven't directly been working with the election supervisor, but I know there have been conversations about it, and the fact that, you know, of course, we've all said that, looked at both the pro and the cons for doing exactly that.
I guess I'll address
Thank
that,
you.
Teresa. Ursula.
Is that fun?
Whoever's got the cat walking on the keyboard. Ursula, the affiliates director, in her meetings with us on management calls, has been collecting a survey information from the five managers for their stations to put into the elections ballot, and I will be working with her and Terry to see to it that we also make a request to defray the cost of the elections as we've done in prior elections. So I will make sure that that is something that gets handled as part of the final, you know, printing situation is to, it's always good to ask our listeners to help defray those costs, okay? Because I think probably I'm working more directly with the election supervisor than LaVarne is. Okay?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm sorry, Nia.
Thank you. Summer, you didn't really mean that Pacifica is prosecuting people, right? You mean pressing charges for not prosecuting, right?
Well, it's actually, from a legal perspective, the same thing. If we prosecute the case, they would be prosecuting it, but we're pressing charges, which is us prosecuting the case in terms of moving forward on it. So, I mean, that we will take it seriously. I mean, sometimes
right,
people
right, right.
do not want to move forward. But, yes, sorry.
But anyway, my question is, just why is the account being opened in Berkeley, and how will the check...
The question is for me?
Yes,
well, I could fly to New York and open an account, or I could do it here in Berkeley. And it's much more cost-effective for me to do it here in Berkeley.
And we did have also the time-sensitive nature of the fact that the bank was not quite as swift as we had asked in terms of putting a block on the account, and it seemed necessary to do this very quickly to shut down that account and not have any more bad checks written on it. So I think some of that, if there's a cost analysis and also the speed with which one addresses the issue. And we were trying to work as quickly as possible from here.
And I wasn't done. LaVar interrupted when I asked, and who are the two signers going to be on the checks?
The same signers who are on there now. Those are Ertel Reimers and Michael G. Haskins. And, of course, I can sign the CFO, or the CFO will be. It would will be the person.
That little, that little kitten, that kitten and her cats are walking on.
Apparently, seriously, she's really got their on off here. Come on, people, we can't hear each other. Okay.
Stop laughing,
sorry.
The barn.
Did you have anything else, Nia?
No.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, I'm sure we're past time on this as well.
Yeah, we're time.
Yeah. Thank you, LaVarne.
Oh, you're welcome.
And. I guess we'll go to the next item on the agenda, which would be the ED CFO's motion. So, Bill, I believe yours is the first on stack. Yeah, would you like to go ahead and motivate that motion?
Okay. Well, it's in the agenda. It says the ED CFO search committee shall be composed of 7 members elected by an email STV vote.
This is LaVarne. Point of information. I shall leave this call, Nan, since it's not really relevant for me. And
okay.
If you need, please call me back. Thanks
okay.
a lot.
Thank you. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. Let me start over. The ED CFO search committee shall be composed of 7 members elected by an email STV vote by members of the PNB. And just to a little background, recall we approved, the PNB approved last month a motion to set up this ED CFO search committee composed of PNB members, but we didn't specify the number of members. So that's been stalled. Nothing's happened until we get the numbers established. So that's the purpose of that, and that's really all we need to do. This committee can call on additional people for help or advice, do whatever they need to do. We have, I believe, 15 members of the PNB who expressed interest. I have a ballot that's ready to go out as soon as we approve this. Actually, I could send it out even beforehand, I guess. But and then this, we could email it to the national office, the ballot, and everyone can rank their choices of the people interested in being on the committee, and we can use STV to select those people. That will ensure diversity of opinions in the committee by using STV, and it should be simple.